This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, June 29th, 2026 edition of Invest Talk, and there's a lot of moving parts in today's market, and understandably, you might have several questions, money related, hopefully, maybe about the broader equity markets, a different asset class, particular company, a sector. We're here for all of it. So I'm Justin Klein, and my goal each and every weekday, along with Luke's, is to help you become a better investor, help you unpack the portfolio dynamics that are present in today's market. Now, in just a bit, we'll be answering some of your finance and investment questions. I'll give you some topics to keep top of mind for you so that you have better perspective within this market. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of headlines. It's easy to get distracted. Our job is to keep you focused with your feet on the ground, not high in the sky emotional decisions. So don't hesitate to give us a call. 888-99-CHART is the number to connect with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, tomorrow, we will be hosting our new wealth webinar. That's tomorrow, June 30th, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. You heard that right. Beyond the Yield, how to invest for your income needs. It's free to join, but you must register by heading over to investtalk.com. So make sure if you're going to join, you want to go register right now. Now, in just a bit, we're going to talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling today about ticker SBSW. I believe it's Sibanye Stillwater. Wondering if you think this is a good company to hold on to or if I should take some profits or sell out of it completely. Thank you for your time. Bye.
Looking at Sibanye Stillwater out of South Africa. This is mainly a gold miner, but they do mine for other minerals like nickel, chrome, copper, cobalt, etc. So they're fairly well diversified. They have some battery metals along with those precious metals. They have platinum, etc. Okay, yeah. So it's fairly well diversified, like I said. Earnings this year are expected to be $2.86. That would be almost an all-time high earnings. All-time high was 2021 at $3.83. It had a very large drawdown from those years when it was trading, let's say 2021, it was trading up around $20. Then it fell as low as $3 just recently, earlier last year, rallied recently back to $20 and now back to $8.70. So you can see that large volatility in the name. Market cap is about $6 billion, so kind of in that mid-cap range. Good cash flow, good profit margins. Let's look at their debt real quick. Debt doesn't look too bad. I think this is a very high risk play within the material space. You're getting that foreign currency risk with obviously South Africa, and you can see how volatile it can be from 21 all the way down to 8. But if it's going to make $2 and change even next year, that's about 4x forward-looking earnings. So overall, I kind of like it, but understand the risk. This is going to be wildly volatile. You need to be prepared for that, because what happens in these type of situations is that people get into it for the upside, but they don't understand that downside volatility. And then they start to realize that downside volatility. They get chicken out of it at the wrong time. Let me give you a major support level. Yeah, about 725. That would be the next major support level. It's at 862 today. So, you know, another 10, 15% potential downside before major support. So I'd be looking at that number to, you know, potentially get out if it gets well below that. But this is a good, I think, entry point based on the valuation, based on the fact that I like these exposure to these type of metals over the long term. Now, we had a great show on Friday. We looked into the story, should you hedge currency risk, the dollar, yen, rupee, and a shift in global order? We also answered questions about applied materials submitted through a comment over on our YouTube channel. And if you happen to miss out on the episode, the best way to get every show is to follow Invest Talk wherever you get your podcast. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. Time permitting, we'll get to all of it. Our main focus point is about The biggest risk, the SpaceX IPO. This is one of the most exciting events of this year. You've had a lot of volatility as of late over the first couple of weeks of trading. So what are the major risks to investing in this name, but also the broader market? What does this tell you about this current bull run and whether it will end anytime soon? So we'll talk about that. We also have other topics on the docket. One is in regards to the profit boom and how it relates to government spending, consumer spending, and what you should expect going forward based on things like the savings rate, deficit, etc. And we also want to talk about AI exuberance. This is from the Bank of International Settlements. They put out a report. It's their annual economic report. That was on Sunday. And it laid out the risks of the current AI exuberance. So what is that telling you? What is that telling us about the future path of markets, the economy, et cetera, in light of what's going on with AI CapEx spend? We also have questions that were submitted via Voice Bank. One is about automatic dividend reinvestment program, and then Putnam Large Cap Value, PEYX, mutual fund. We also have some questions that came in via the comment section on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. But we're going to head into a quick break. So please remember, you can call anytime. Leave your question on the Invest Talk Voice Bank. If you're listening via our live stream or an AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, I'll comment on today's market activity.
The wait is almost over. Beyond the Yield, how to invest for your income needs. An all-new Invest Talk Wealth Webinar. Tomorrow, noon to 1 Pacific Time, online and free of charge. Pre-register at investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a look at the market overall. It was a nice bounce back day. NASDAQ up over 2%, S&P up over 1%, Dow only about 0.6%. You had names like Google, Amazon, Tesla. Those had some nice gains. Tesla up 8.5, Google up nearly 5, Amazon 3.2. Apple was down slightly. Nvidia up a little over 1%. You had some strength out of a lot of the names that sold off on Friday. A nice bounce back for names like Western Digital, Corning, KLA Tencor, Applied Materials, Lam Research. Those are names that were very, very strong on the day. You had sell-offs in communication services, so all the telecom names, might be some worries around maybe Starlink competing with some of the AT&T and Verizons of the world. I'm not sure I believe that, but that's at least the narrative right now. The finance space was a bit mixed, but overall it was just that bounce back in those names that sold off on Friday. So we'll see. This is just a counter trend bounce. Or do we get some stickiness to this market? Overall, the rotation and breadth is widening out. That's overall a positive. But today wasn't one of those days. It was very, very concentrated in those tech names, those hardware names that had been selling off for most of last week. You did get some Supreme Court decisions that might affect things on the economic front. Excuse me, the political front, but not really the economic front. You had treasuries, they were mixed. Yields were up at 1 to 2 basis points on the front end, signaling a bit of a tighter Fed policy going forward. Dollar was off 1.3%. Sorry, not 0.3% on the day. The yen continues to sell off a 40-year low versus the dollar. That ultimately another reason for the market staying buoyant. No yen carry trade unwind in the offing like we saw a couple of years ago. Gold finished down 1.4%, silver 1.7% in the red. Bitcoin was up about 1% in choppy trading. You still are getting a lot of pressure on Bitcoin in general from what's going on with MicroStrategy and Stretch and all of that kind of financial shenanigans that are starting to come home to roost within that space. And another reason why I think Bitcoin will remain in a bear market for some time. WTI crude up 2.2% on the day, back above $70 a barrel as the detente in the Middle East looks to be on hold, at least for a little while. We'll see how that goes. Flare-ups are continuing, and that was really the big story over the weekend. So that was the market today to start off a fresh week. Now, from time to time, we receive questions via web form from investtalk.com. Here's one that came there earlier. Because I'm thinking about getting back into Las Vegas Sands. LVS is the symbol. At what price level would you start accumulating shares? Las Vegas Sands. Let me pull up some of the numbers here. So this is interesting because this has been in a pretty strong downtrend ever since a high right around, what is that, about $70 or so? Yeah, 70 and change back in December. Now we're already down to 46 and change in less than 6 months. This has had quite the downtrend, down 34% from its 52-week high. Earnings expectations for this year and next year continue to come down, although it's still $3 and change, but it is a mid-teens multiple, which based on a company that's looking to grow earnings and revenue in the mid to high single digits, that's probably a fair multiple to trade at. So I don't think it's expensive or cheap at these levels. I think it's fairly valued. Now, I will say it is at support, right around $40 to $5. But we've been here for a few days now. We tried a rally on Friday, sold off again today. Not really the reaction I'd like to see near major support. So to me, this needs to head probably lower and probably closer to $42. That's a much better technical support level. The question for me, though, is do you want to get into a name that, you know, Las Vegas in general has been struggling. China consumers continue to struggle. Because remember, this is as much, if not more, a play on China as it is on Las Vegas. I know it's called Las Vegas Sands, but if you look at where the revenue comes from, it's almost all Macau. You're talking about 43% is Marina Bay Sands in Macau, the Venetian in Macau, the Londoner in Macau. Only 16% comes from others, which would be right in other areas. Actually, Singapore is at the top one, about 43%. So I think that's the issue, is China continues to have their domestic troubles economically. And so that is why this is in a downtrend. I would be very patient with it. 42, it'd be the first level that I would get in if you want to get in it for the long term. But there's no guarantee it's going to stop going down there. Now, this is InvestTalk, now closing in on 63 million downloads. Thanks to you. Hang on, our work continues. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, hi Justin and Luke. It's Mike from Orange County, California. And I'm calling in with a quick question about automatic dividend reinvestment programs. We have a couple of stocks that we have set up to automatically reinvest. And it just kind of dawned on me that I'm wondering if this creates an issue when you go to sell those shares of stock because you now are owning partial shares. I'd appreciate any comment you can make on it. Thanks. Have a good day.
No, there should be no reason why that would create an issue. Most brokerage firms now allow partial share ownership. Now, the question would be, wherever it's held, are you making sure that that broker is tracking the lots for tax purposes? That's what I would be worried about. But that's partial share ownership has no bearing on whether it's a smart thing to do. What I'm saying is automatic dividend reinvestment programs. To me, the bigger question you have to ask yourself is, in a world that's rapidly shifting, rapidly changing, especially with AI, how many companies can you confidently say that you want to buy shares in and allow all the dividends to simply accrue as more shares in your account. This isn't the days of Procter & Gamble, where those businesses are safe from competition by just spending a bunch on ads, for example, and continuing to print money and cash flow that supports that dividend and earnings growth over time. I think it's a much more difficult environment to operate in. Even names like Coke and Pepsi, they're still, not say they're bad investments. I just think that their businesses are more at risk today than they were 20 or 30 years ago. So you have to be very careful in what type of companies you are running a dividend reinvestment plan with. A lot of the big names, from General Mills, for example, to a Kraft Heinz, there's a lot of those names that are just not doing very well, that you would think would be, they're still around, they're just, businesses are not doing great because of changes in taste, or, you know, they acquire other businesses and layer on too much debt and the debt becomes an issue. There's just a lot of ways that large businesses can, that might seem bulletproof today, can stumble. Nike, another example. Name that had been around for a long time, was always the leader in sports apparel. Then the pandemic hits. They do some not very bright things by leaving Foot Locker and pivoting online and not in reinvesting in marketing. And suddenly they lose market share and their stock goes from 175 to 41 today. So that is my bigger issue. It has nothing to do with the fractional shares or anything like that. Let's go take another voicemail question now.
Hey, I'm trying to reach Justin or Luke. I have a question for the show. I'm trying to decipher two stocks here. We got CEG, Constellation Energy, and then we have Southern Company, SO. I'm just thinking about all the energy that's going to be needed for the data centers. I know that in Georgia, these data centers that are getting constructed, they're filling up real quick. And so there seems to, the demand is definitely there. So I'm trying to see, is there a way that I could try to invest? I don't know. I'm looking at Southern Company or CEG, or if you have maybe another suggestion for me, I'll listen to the podcast. We're big fans of the show. Thanks, guys.
Well, I can't give you a suggestion of a different name, but I can address the two names that you asked about, which is Constellation Energy and Southern Company. The Constellation Energy, this is $94 billion market cap. It's an electric utility company, but its dividend yield is only 2/3 of 1%. It's very low, especially for a utility name. Earnings growth is going up to 25% this year and then 15% next year. So its growth is good, but the stock price is not reflecting that. In fact, it's off 37% from its 52-week high. Its relative strength is 14, very low. So it's not doing very well. Then you look at Southern Company, also a utility company, but it has some natural gas businesses as well. Well-diversified, has nuclear. It's actually a name that we own for clients. Dividend yield is 3.14%. Relative strength is 46. So from at least a price perspective, it's kind of done about average over the last year, which actually is pretty good for a utility name to do kind of average for the broader market in a bull market. And then you add in the dividend, it's done fairly well for us. So we're much bigger fans of Southern Company than Constellation Energy. The next Invest Talk, we'll look into the story. JP Morgan says 7,800. Should you believe price targets? A major shop just lifted the S&P target to 7,800 on a blue sky scenario. We'll talk about that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein, ready to take your calls anytime at 888-99-CHART.
At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review.
Stop guessing with supplements. Most of us take vitamins blindly, wasting time and money. Your body is unique, and it deserves better. Introducing True Diagnostic, an easy at-home health test. With a quick finger prick, True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over 1 million data points and measure up to 180 biomarkers. You will receive clear digital results with a personalized 90-day actionable plan to improve health, boost energy, and slow down your aging process. There is absolutely no guesswork and no generic advice. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at TrueDiagnostic.com using code INVEST20 at checkout. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use code INVEST20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. True Diagnostic, spelled TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com. Use code INVEST20 for 20% off today.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP. On the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Our main focus point today is about the SpaceX IPO and what are the biggest risks, not just for the name itself, but for the broader market. Then we talked kind of ad nauseum for the past couple of weeks about how these mega IPOs are often priced for perfection. And once the lockup period ends, you suddenly see them sink and they go lower before they finally find some sort of equilibrium. And then they're a more reasonable investment. And SpaceX is not the only one likely coming to market this year. We know there's OpenAI, Anthropic, and many others. But the script is always the same. Valuations are very high. Companies are many times unprofitable. And the public investors are exit liquidity for the billionaires like an Elon Musk or a Sam Altman. But what it signals for the broader market is euphoria that can be seen at the end of bull runs. But what you have to understand is that's not guaranteed. There are other factors that have to be in play as well. The recent data compiled by Truist showed that the average one-year drawdown for large IPO was 55%. The average. Think about that. Now, recently, what did SpaceX get up to? Its high was up $225 per share. So that puts the drawdown probably somewhere close to $100 per share. It would not shock me at all. Peak to trough. But once again, that's not the only story here. Because if you look back in history, there were some high-profile IPOs in the dot-com bubble, like Netscape, Amazon, eBay. A lot of them went public in more like 97, 98. Then you had the bull run up until 2000, and then the bubble popped. And why did it pop? Remember the Y2K scare? So one of the reasons why the market was up so much in 99 was because the Fed wanted to make sure there was plenty of liquidity in case there was some sort of Y2K issue where, you know, computer systems were down and it created an economic shock in some way, shape, or form. And then when the new era came and went, or the new millennium came and went, without an issue, well, they started to drain that liquidity. And that's why by March, you had the bubble pop. That's why the NASDAQ was up, over 100% in the end. So once again, it's not just about those excessive valuations, but it's about liquidity reversing. What this does is it signals that we are set up for a potential major reversal if liquidity tightens materially. So a few flashy IPOs on their face won't break the market. But you add on top of that a tightening Federal Reserve, that's where issues may arise. And it can, sometimes it's not just the Federal Reserve. It could be banks stopping lending for whatever reason. Maybe the AI investment theme starts to reverse in a major way, and then banks pull back their lending, and that reduces overall liquidity in the system. That could be a catalyst as well. So expensive markets can stay expensive for a long time, especially if earnings keep growing, which they have been, and liquidity doesn't tighten. And that's why I always say valuation is a horrible timing mechanism. It's one of the worst. So the moral of the story here is don't confuse overpriced IPOs, which SpaceX is definitely one, and there's probably more to come for this year. Don't confuse those with an automatic sign of a market on the verge of collapse. But use it as a signal that says, hey, if you get a Fed that pivots aggressively, kind of like they did in 2022, that's what we talked about recently before, is that that's what could be setting up. Not a recessionary bear market, but a bear market that kind of brings valuations back in. But you have to see that shift in liquidity dynamics, which we have not quite seen yet. Let's go talk to Dave, located up in the Fresno area here in California, looking at ConocoPhillips.
Correct. And I want to thank you for all you do. I've been listening since the money radio days.
Oh, wow.
And, the 90s. Yeah, I'm interested. I've learned a lot.
A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that InvestTalk was on the radio in the 1990s. My grandfather on the money radio here in Southern California.
Correct. I listen to it every day. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, I have a small position in ConocoPhillips, and it's been kind of disappointing. I was thinking if it's time to buy more.
So this is a name that we actually own for clients. We've owned it for some time. So we've still done well. Yes, it's pulled back from 135 to about 105 today, but it's still well above kind of where it was most of last year when it's hanging around in the, you know, 80s and 90s. So I think it's still in a broader uptrend. So that's a good thing. But we've actually started to think about shifting our allocation from ConocoPhillips into other names within the space that are more in the midstream business, meaning moving the end product from the well to, you know, where it's being consumed. So think pipeline companies. Also thinking about the refining business, which also is more consistent. Whereas these E&P companies, they're very tied to the ebbs and flows of the supply and demand dynamics within the oil industry. And this is a lesson. This is a lesson that sometimes you have to listen to the market, pay attention to the headlines and realize what didn't happen. It's not oftentimes in markets, the best lessons are what you think should have happened, but didn't. And how do you adjust your views accordingly? And that's what I'm thinking, or we're thinking, with what's happened with the war in Iran and the closing of the Straits of Hormuz. This was always pledged as a major reason for a potential major oil spike. And I think that's certainly still possible, but clearly not to a $150, $200, you know, $200, maybe $150 if you get into a real crisis in the next, you know, months and this war keeps dragging on. But it's telling us that, you know, there's new supply out there. There's supply that can be turned on at the right price and a lot lower prices than people realize, and that countries are able to pivot their energy use when prices do go up. And so maybe the price inelasticity of demand has reduced over time as there's alternative energy sources like solar, like wind, like nuclear, etc. And so we're less bullish on a lot of these E&P names and focusing more on, like I said, the pipeline companies, the refining businesses, etc. That's where I would rather, if I'm going to commit more money, that's where we'd rather go. Now, I do think that a lot of what's happening in the Middle East is going to probably I think, blow up in the current administration's face at some point where you do get another oil spike to the upside. But honestly, we're selling into that spike as opposed to buying it. So not an area that I would continue to allocate a ton of more capital to.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Let's do another voicemail question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke. This is Joe from the Midwest. Great show. Thanks for all you do. I got a question about a fund, Putnam Large Cap Value Trust, ticker PEYAX. It's available to me in my 401k, listed as Class IA shares with an expense ratio of 33 basis points. Looking for some diversification in my large cap U.S. equities, and this is really my only other option, but I kind of like it. Let me know what you think. Look forward to hearing the answer on the podcast. Thank you.
All right, looking at the Putnam Large Cap Value Fund, PEYX. That's another share class. Go back to PYAX. It's offered in his, look at this price, offered his 401k. So this says there's a front end load. Ideally, that front end load is waived. Usually they are for 401ks. So if make sure that's the case, make sure you're not paying some sort of load up front. Management fee is about, looks like 45 basis points or so. Performance is pretty good. 10-year performance in the 6th percentile. Same with the 15-year performance, also in the 6th percentile, which means that only 6% of funds within this category, which would be large cap domestic value, only 6% of funds have done better over the past 10, 15 years. That's pretty good. That's very good, actually. So I actually like this fund. If this is available in your 401k, this is one of those type of funds that you want to have a hefty allocation to if you do want exposure to domestic large cap stocks. So I'm going to give this one a thumbs up. Let's go answer a YouTube question. SSJ says, thanks for the video and info on silver. Thoughts on AG as a silver play and waiting on the next rally, or is WPM a better investment? This is a good question. These are the type of decisions you have to make when you're investing in silver and gold miners. There's your traditional miners, which would be like a First Majestic. AG is a symbol. Very heavily tied to silver. Let me see. Let's make sure that. A lot of times you'll get names that the title or the name of the company is silver, right? But it has a lot of other exposures and it may be not a pure play silver name. So for this, Mexico, Canada, yeah, they do have some gold exposure, but it is mainly silver. It's pulled back considerably. Earnings, though, this year is supposed to be 89 cents and $1.09 next year on a $16.81 stock. $8 billion market cap. But with gold miners or silver miners, they have different mines. Looks like they have three main mines in Mexico and then United States, but mainly Mexico. And things can happen with those mines. Can happen good, where they pull more out of the mines than they expected, or bad, where there's a mine collapse or some deaths or whatever, and it gets shut down. Maybe their permits get pulled or whatever. So there's risks there, especially when, once again, they're concentrated in those few mines. But with those risks gives you substantial upside, because if this returns back to its 52-week high, you're talking about going from $16 today to well over 30, which is doubling of your money. And so this is the high risk play. Whereas wheat and precious metals historically was more of a silver streamer, different type of business. Still tied to gold and silver, but they invest in a lot of different mines around the world. 45% of their revenue comes from Brazil, 19% Peru, 7% Canada, 28% though, everywhere else. So you can see, very well diversified. 45% of their revenue comes from gold miners, 13% from silver, or a silver mine, another 10% from another silver mine, and then 32% mines all over. So they have stakes in mines around the world. And so they're very well diversified. So that's what makes it a lower risk play, even though it is trading at a more expensive valuation, about roughly 25 times forward-looking earnings versus AG, it's at about 16 times forward-looking earnings. So it really just depends on the risk you want to take. You want to be aggressive, it's AG. You want to be more conservative, kind of that consistency, get a bit of a dividend on Wheaton is about double what it is on AG. So how much risk do you want to take? If you're a high risk player, you want the most upside, you're going to go with AG. That would be Majestic, First Majestic Silver. Thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. And we have one goal here each and every weekday is help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART. John from St. Louis, hang on. You will be next.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
Quick question. What are some signs of that a recession is coming?
Is there any lesson for people who own stocks, even if they don't short a stock, that the stock they own, they should know whether it's been heavily shorted?
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
If this gets to 170 to 175 in that range, that's where I'd pick it up.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA. Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
I'm a new investor, and your podcast has helped me out a lot.
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART, or post your questions on the InvestTalk YouTube channel.
You spend lots of time optimizing your portfolio, researching positions, managing risk, and leveraging the power of compounding. So, here's a question you need to take seriously. What could poor sleep actually be costing you? We know that sleep deprivation can degrade your cognitive performance, decision quality, emotional regulation, and temperature is a key factor in determining quality sleep. Finally, the temperature regulation challenge has been solved by the ChiliPad 2.0, a water-based mattress topper. It actively controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees all night to get you into deep, restorative sleep faster and keep you there longer. It works on your existing mattress, so a new bed is not needed. Visit www.sleep.me/invest. to get up to $255 off a ChiliPad 2.0. This special offer is available for InvestTalk listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today and get your 30-day sleep trial with free shipping and free returns. Go to www.sleep.me/invest and see why cool sleep is worth every cent.
Wait is almost over. Beyond the Yield, how to invest for your income needs. An all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar. Tomorrow, noon to 1 Pacific Time. Online and free of charge. Pre-register at InvestTalk.com. And now the InvestTalk phone lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
We're going to head out to St. Louis, Missouri, and talk to John. He wants to talk about the S&P 500.
Hi, Justin. Hey, I was just calling to see what your opinion of the S&P 500 is right now. I'm calling with my Roth, my TSP account in mind. I've been putting more money into the S fund, which is small and mid caps, and the international fund. With a little bit to the S&P. However, I just keep in mind how Warren Buffett said to just put your money in S&P and just leave it alone at one point in time. I'm trying to get back to that at some point, but I'm just wondering what you think it's going to take for the S&P to look attractive again. Would it be like the big names moving down to less than 30% of the index, or a crash, or what would make the S&P attractive again, I guess, is my question.
I think it would be that the major hyperscalers start to readjust their CapEx spend that allows them to have a good sense of whether this spend makes sense from an ROI perspective, that, you know, that yes, they are spending a lot of money, but they're getting the requisite revenue back for that spend. I think right now there's still a lot up in the air. And then on top of that, you have a cash flow situation where a lot of them are going negative, in a negative territory, and even others are just dropping considerably from a cash flow perspective. And that leaves very little and sometimes none left for stock buybacks, which really supported the shares for a long period of time, and thus the S&P 500. And a lot of those, what that was doing was it was sterilizing the stock issuance that was going to a lot of employees. Now they're no longer doing that. So a lot of them, their number of shares outstanding are rising once again, as opposed to falling like they had been for years. So it's just a fundamental shift in a lot of those names that would need to reverse in a major way. I'm not seeing that, at least in the shorter term. And I would continue to watch what's happening with those small cap names, what's happening with foreign names. They are outperforming, especially small and mid caps. So I would continue to overweight those small and mid caps until I see a major shift in what those hyperscalers are doing and their strategy to make it so that their actions are more shareholder friendly like they had been in the past.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's talk about earnings growth. Over the past year, 12-month forward-looking earnings forecast for the MSCI All World Index is up 30%. And it's not just about tech companies. It's about oil names, but also non-financial stocks as well. So the profit share of GDP of the financial sector over the past year has been about stable, or since the pandemic, excuse me, has been about stable. But the domestic non-financial industries surged from 8.1% of national income to 11.2% today. Now, what is this saying, though? What is this saying about the structure of our overall economy? What it's saying is that this profit surge is from two factors. Number one is government deficits. Government deficits rose dramatically during the pandemic, 2020, and they never really dropped. They stayed high since. And currently, the Congressional Budget Office estimates it'll be about 5.8% this year. 5.8% of GDP. That is very high. And what does that typically go to? It goes into corporate profits, especially when you get government tax cuts like you've seen recently. Money is flowing into these corporate coffers. So that's a big reason why earnings growth this year is so high. Unfortunately, it won't be repeated next year, but it should stay elevated as long as these tax cuts and the deficit stays in place. Then the other side is personal spending. So the savings rate has now dropped to levels not seen since the financial crisis. And what that tells you is that workers are struggling. The Fed's analysis shows that worker wages as a portion of GDP is slightly lower than it was at the end of 2024. So all that growth during the pandemic has now started to reverse. And companies are gaining ground against workers when it comes to wages. And so these are factors that are driving profit growth, but you can't have that for long because you either have the bond market throwing a fit around government deficits, or you have political issues. And that's where you see that with the approval rating of the current administration being very, very low. It's because both inflation and a broader economy that is not keeping up with that inflation, especially when it comes to wages. So I wanted to give you some insights on what's happening with the current earnings growth and whether it is sustainable. I'm Justin Klein, reminding you of KP Financial's parallel investing. We make a trade for our clients, make the same trade for ourselves, same day, same price, same percentage, no front running, no special treatment. We invest right alongside our clients. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, or head over to our YouTube channel and check out our content there. Our next wealth webinar coming up tomorrow, Beyond the Yield, How to Invest for Your Income Needs. So pre-register now at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.